Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Welcome to another Daily Tech News Show special edition. I'm Tom Merritt, and joining me today, I'm very happy to have Tanya Evans, Associate Dean of Academic Affairs, Director of the Blockchain, Cryptocurrency, and Law Certificate Program at UNH Franklin Pierce School of Law. Tanya, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about Libra and some of the issues around Libra. There's been a lot of talk around Libra. If people don't know about it, you probably should go listen to one of our shows where we talk about it in depth. But it's essentially a cryptocurrency-like product that Facebook is proposing as an independent association that Facebook could obviously take advantage of, but would be run by multiple organizations. In fact, they say they have more than 20 organizations on board for this. There's a lot of nervousness, shall we say, around the idea of Libra. Tanya, in your view, what do you think are some of the main misconceptions about it?
Well, it's a fantastic question because I think there are misconceptions on all sides of the proverbial coin, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. But first, from the side of the crypto community, actually, I think somewhat clear-headed, and we focus a lot on whether or not Libra would truly be a cryptocurrency as you would define from the perspective of a public, permissionless, blockchain-based crypto asset. And the Libra coin, and actually there are two, and we'll get into that in a bit, but the one that is actually pegged to a basket of assets, because it will exist within the confines of a permissioned blockchain, it is very different. And so perhaps from a consumer or layperson point of view, a one-size-fits-all term would be a cryptocurrency or more broadly, as I like to talk about it, a crypto asset. But actually, the Libra coin would be very different than Bitcoin, for example, or any other cryptographically secure digital asset that is secured by a public permissionless chain.
Right.
And then I will say on... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then quickly, I would just say from a regulator's perspective, I think also they may take that same approach to lump all digital assets in the same basket. And we have to be really, really careful. I think there was some great testimony a couple of weeks ago in D.C. to make sure that there was a distinction that was clear. But those are some of the misconceptions more broadly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hear cryptocurrency and think Bitcoin and therefore think shady dealings, right? That's sort of the knee-jerk reaction to that. And when you throw Facebook into the mix, people think other kinds of shady dealings, perhaps, is their perception. And the narrative that I see a lot of people having in their discussions about it is that Facebook wants to become a bank. Facebook wants to print its own money. The fact that this isn't that, it's also not exactly cryptocurrency. How do you explain that to somebody?
It feels to me, I've heard somebody recently describe it as going to Disney World and getting some Mickey bucks. Mm. And while you're within that atmosphere, that has a transactional value. You're able to do things perhaps at a discount while you're in Disneyland or Disney World. Outside of that context, it doesn't have much use or utility. I think LibraCoin and Facebook and the consortium would certainly argue that there would be a farther reach than this particular example, but it's a good way to at least have the conversation of why this is something that would have great utility within the Libra sphere. Obviously, there will be other wallets. You don't have to have a Facebook account or a WhatsApp account or be affiliated in particular with any of the consortium members, as long as you had access to a wallet. But it has that feel, particularly because of the consortium and something that is permissioned that you can get in, but you could equally get kicked out. And so that's a distinguishing characteristic as well.
Yeah, I mean, analogies always break if you stretch them too far, but I'll try not to break it. I like that Mickey Bucks analogy. If you said the Mickey Bucks could also be used at other participating theme parks that join us, like yes. Kings Island or Six Flags or whatever.
Exactly.
And they may or may not join. Because I think the point with a lot of the criticisms that I try to emphasize to people is Facebook isn't... let me ask you, do you trust it when Facebook says we won't have control of Libra once the consortium is underway?
I actually do, because I had this mental exercise, and I'm setting it up for my students in the fall as well. If we change the name Facebook everywhere it appears in the white paper, for example, and put in Mozilla or some other entity that we would feel more comfortable with, that didn't have all of the issues and privacy concerns, not just about transactional data, but about all of our data, would we feel differently about it? And I actually think they worked really, really hard to create, to get ahead of all of the potential problems and then surround themselves with all of the things that we would do, perhaps if you or I were to build this or the Mozillas of the world were to build it. And so I think it could be I would be a lot more excited about it if it looked like that. The apps, when you inject Facebook and Facebook's name into it, you have all sorts of concerns, because despite the fact that there's a consortium, you're right, it's 20-something members now from financial sector, NGO sector, to be scaled up to approximately 100. And so if that bears itself out, they would only have one vote with all of the direction of the network. And that in and of itself says it doesn't control it. But they built it. They have the initial infusion of money to oversee it. They're it's responsible for and in charge of the code, even though it's open source code. And with their history and track record and the fact that they are for profit, they're not altruistic. They move fast and break things. Those are all of the concerns when you add, the name Facebook onto a project that otherwise we might be a little more excited about.
Yeah, I tried to help people get past that, because right. I want to excuse Facebook. I think those are all valid concerns. But if you're going to evaluate Libra, you need to evaluate it on its own merits. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is to find out what are some of the problems or challenges that Libra is going to face beyond just the obvious getting past trusting Facebook and getting regulators to understand what it is.
I guess when you think about it's going to sound counterintuitive when I talk about adoption, because they have the biggest network in the world, which would be the fastest onboard to mainstream adoption of this type of coin, which I would call a corpo currency or a corporate currency, but that is the natural progression for people to get comfortable with something of that nature means it's promising for the crypto community in general, Bitcoin in particular as well. But the idea of the privacy concerns being an impediment, ironically perhaps, to adoption, obviously with the regulatory issues throughout the world. But if Bitcoin doesn't have that problem, right? Because there's no central point of attack in a way that Facebook will have to move through this, perhaps like the Ubers of the world, to try on a jurisdiction by jurisdiction basis to figure, am I in or am I out? I mean, the reality of it is going to go forward for the jurisdiction, you know, Switzerland, obviously, and others like it that will embrace it. I think the United States will, too, because they don't want to get left behind, even though we're doing a lot of saber rattling now. But it's the if they intend to do this in a year, there's a lot that has to be put into place to get regulators around the world who are skittish comfortable. And also the educational pitch that they're going to have to do to get their to get consumers around the world on board, not just their own consumers, but any that would interact with any of the consortium members.
Yeah, and it seems like one of the positives of this might be to help people who are unbanked avoid some of the higher fees associated with transmittance and with check cashing and that sort of thing. And that's why the NGOs are on board with the consortium. How do you feel about that? Do you think this has the promise to do that?
I think it certainly does. Look, there are 1.7 billion unbanked or underbanked in the world, and we actually don't have to leave our own borders within the states to find that as well. And even if there are Wi-Fi challenges, we have, you know, second layer solutions that would help with that, of course. And almost all of the world, many parts of the world where you think that there wouldn't be great infrastructure or technology, they have a device, they have a phone or have access to a phone, and intermittently access to Wi-Fi environments, for example, or hardware storage and all of these things. So it can do that. I don't think that's their overriding concern, but that has always been kind of the utopian conversation, even in the crypto circles. And I believe more altruistically so as well from a libertarian perspective. On the Facebook side, I think the natural implications of this type of technology is going to help with digital inclusion, financial inclusion. My concern is always that those who might need it most might be blocked by their governments. Mm-hmm. And so that will be interesting. And I think any network might have to navigate that space. But that certainly can be a benefit of a project like that, to be sure.
I've read some people saying that one of the biggest humps would be figuring out how to buy in, how to get in.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Into the system. Do you think that that is a reasonable impediment?
I think so. So, and I think we talk about this more broadly with a lot of projects, and Libra would be no exception when you're talking about onboarding and offboarding, or on-ramping, off-ramping. And I suspect that Facebook and the consortium members are ahead of that game trying to make that easier. But they're also going to still have to navigate the regulatory environment, because anytime you have some type of friction or some type of intermediary, as we would say, those are those choke points that are ripe for regulation. And depending upon whether or not regulators around the world take a heavy-handed approach, what they do in terms of KYC, AML, that came up a lot in the hearings, and they are going to have to confront that. Those regulations could also be impediments as well. But and so those are not insignificant things to resolve within this year.
Now, you mentioned earlier the idea of if Facebook wasn't involved in Libra, say Mozilla was instead, the perceptions would be different. Is there the chance that something like Libra could take off without Facebook being involved in it?
The short answer is yes, but the question is the scale. I don't think there's any company on the planet that has the scale of Facebook. And then you add to that the others who are part of the consortium, and it just makes it formidable, bigger than any government, quite frankly, which is why you have every government's attention to figure out, now, what is this again, and how do we stop it? And they said, aha, but there's the point with this type of technology being borderless and all the other core characteristics that we talk about with respect, but it's the reach of their network that is so both impressive and frightening to figure out how to get a handle on something where, when you're talking in the pure sense, at least of blockchains and even distributed ledgers of this nature, the fact that once it's up and running, it's very hard to stop.
Now, you mentioned, go ahead.
Go ahead. That's the point.
Yeah. You were mentioning to me that Walmart has a new patent filed about a kind of digital currency. Theirs seems to be tied to a single, like probably to the dollar, right? And more
right.
of a stored value card. Is there a potential there that Walmart might try to create a competitor to Libra?
It sounds more like a single entity, Walmart, as opposed to a consortium. It will certainly be permissioned and private in that sense. I was trying to unpack the patent, and they are giving it a light touch. They put enough information to file, but not enough yet so that we could figure it out. And they're just in the early stages
so
of it. But
it's
good, excellent claims. Just enough that we all know about it, but we don't know enough. And it takes a long time for something like this to work its way through as well. But many companies have filed to figure out how and in what ways they can leverage distributed ledger technology for their own benefit, in addition to having value within their supply chain and within their stores, that perhaps it would also have some additional value beyond that in terms of collectibles. And it's very interesting the way it's written, so time will tell. It sounds there are many distinctions, although there are some similarities. So I look at it as kind of a Venn diagram of all the different iterations, quite frankly, of blockchain technology and crypto assets. I think it's a great way to compare and contrast. And through that process, you get to the educational process of what we're really talking about.
Yeah, it seems to me that if more of these kinds of systems were proposed and got attention, that people would start to be able to make a fairer comparison to Libra. Right now it's, oh, Facebook's involved, that's all I need to know. But if, say, Walmart did come out and announce something where they were the only member, there was no consortium, and it was tied to a single dollar, not to a basket of currencies, then you could start to see a few more of the reasons why Libra was set up the way it was.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I feel like we're in this time where we're constantly comparing and contrasting the early days of the World Wide Web to the internet. And when we talked about the internet versus intranets, and I imagine that we will live in a world where you have these, I think personally, Bitcoin's not going anywhere and chains like it. But then we'll also have a series of, and necessarily so, permissioned private chains. I think of healthcare and financial services and other industries that are already heavily regulated. And this type of technology doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? It's just the issue of how it fits in with the context of the broader regulatory agencies already acting in a space. But when you have various companies making things better, faster, and cheaper, even if it is still relatively siloed, and as long as we can, as you say, continue to compare and contrast, they will actually help us to distinguish. I know that Meltem Demirs at the House testimony did a great job of distinguishing Bitcoin and the Bitcoin blockchain from Facebook and Libra and Calibra, et cetera. So the more that that happens, the better able consumers will be in determining what is more like Bitcoin and what is more like a pure private distributed ledger system.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. It strikes me that one of the differences here is with all technologies, the existing laws are always inadequate to the task because it's something new about it that we've never seen before. But in this case, because Facebook is involved and because it's gotten so much attention from governments, it does feel like there's at least a chance, and maybe I'm being a little too optimistic, but at least a chance that laws could adapt along with the launch of it rather than trying to scramble and figure out how to adapt long after the consequences are already being felt.
Oh, I think that's a really, really good point. And we're kind of at a tipping point as well, where it's not a matter of whether this happens. It has literally happened. We're a decade into the original blockchain and the most successful of digital currencies. You know, of course, there were a couple that came up before even Bitcoin, but that's the most successful, and it led to the adoption of all sorts of blockchains for various purposes, but beyond a medium of exchange or a store of value, right? It gets to this concept of transfers of value at a higher level and more, and certainly broader than one could have imagined. And that's the same thing that we've done with the internet as well. The original iteration is so far removed from what we're doing with it now. I run a small nation from my phone, and so we never could have conceived of streaming on a small device and all of the things that we're doing now above and beyond the first application of the internet, perhaps like email, for example.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, I was excited to put a Wi-Fi card in my laptop and be able to sit in a different room and use the internet, right? And here we are, just carrying the internet
absolutely
around with us anyway. It's a really good point, too, that this isn't new. Like you say, the Bitcoin blockchain has been around for 10 years. Is there anything that already exists that is similar to Libra that most people aren't aware of?
Oh, that's a good question. So as I think about it, you know, MakerDAO has a basket of assets, but, you know, and it's transitioning in a way. It's still, I would put MakerDAO clearly on the crypto community side and not a corporate currency. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to suggest that at all. I just, more broadly, is there something that has a stable coin tied to an asset, a basket of assets, and also some type of security token, et cetera, as well? I don't know as much about the Ripple network, but certainly there's a consortium there. And when we compare and contrast maybe Bitcoin and Ethereum as it first began and what it appears to be now versus Ripple, those are all three different but prominent networks. And anything that has a basket of assets and tries to have both a stable coin and some type of security token that rewards those who've supported it in the beginning, or maybe are charged with the task of securing the network at a broader level, that's what Libra is. And so there's a place for it, certainly in the community.
Yeah. It, in other words, like many things, Libra in its parts isn't new. It's just a new arrangement of things that have been done before.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Before we wrap up, tell me a little bit about the blockchain, cryptocurrency, and law professional certificate program that you run.
So I was really fortunate last year as I started, after I fell down the rabbit hole and started talking about this all day, every day to anybody who would listen. Most people didn't know what I was talking about, but they were really excited that I was excited. Uh-huh. And, you know, at UNH Franklin Pierce, we've always been a leading edge innovator in the space of education, and we're primarily focused on intellectual property and innovation. And so I wanted to prepare students not just for the jobs that exist today, but certainly the ones that aren't created yet. We could say that about the blockchain environment in general. Some of the most highly sought after jobs right now did not exist 2, 3, 5 years ago, certainly. And so in order for this being the community, crypto assets, blockchains, distributed ledgers to be successful, There has to be lawyers in place that understand the technology and are solutions oriented and really can assist people across industries, because this type of technology is disrupting all types of industries. Clients want to know about it. That means lawyers have to be well-versed, and not as an impediment to, but in supporting of the development. And so for all of those reasons, I wanted to tap into my own network and pull in adjuncts who are working in various industries to teach and also to guest lecture. So this fall, we'll be joined by Caitlin Long and Sandra Rowe and Premier David Burt from Bermuda. He spoke last year as well. We've had Vlad Zamfir and a number of people, and just really excited about the level of commitment to this growing group. So we take new cohorts every semester. It's a two-semester certificate program. It's fully asynchronous and online. So people jump in and jump out at their leisure. And the first semester I teach, I'm joined this fall by Joshua Clayman, fantastic lawyer in this space. And she'll be joining me to go through 14 weeks of blockchain and the law. It's the fundamentals course, so it's really a survey. Hmm. And then the second semester is advanced topics in blockchain law. And we cover tokenomics and crypto regs, crypto economics, data privacy and security. We touch on social impact and then have one module devoted to healthcare. And so it's a really comprehensive, it's in the $3,000 range. And so we made it affordable, easy to get through, and packed with information. So I'm excited to get back to it this fall.
That's great. I mean, because if you have more lawyers that know about the technology that is under review for regulation, that means eventually we'll have more judges, maybe more elected officials that actually understand the technology. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
law.unh.edu/blockchain if you want to investigate a little more about that certificate. Anything else we should let people know about before we let you go?
Well, I just want to make sure that people continue to stay immersed in the space. It's something that, as you know, changes every minute of the day. Mm-hmm. And also not to know everything about everything. There could have been a question that came up today and said, you know what, I'm staying in my lane. I'm sure your next guest will do fabulously well with that. I'm not the one for you. And I think sometimes people try and be the master mm-hmm. of all in this space. It's impossible. Get to know and really appreciate the technology and then figure out what of expertise you already have in your life and how this technology will be relevant. And I think that's an easier way to transition through and to really take a deeper dive in a particular slice of it. And then just stay open,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and thank you for doing the favor to me of sharing your expertise with me, because I know you know a lot more about this than I do, certainly.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Always here. And you know, I've run out of people, so I'm happy to talk to anyone who loves this. And the more opportunities that we have in the community to talk about the various use cases, what's good, what's bad, what the hope for the future will be, and where we are now. It's just an exciting time.
Thank you so much, Sonia.
Thank you.
Folks, don't forget, the reason we're able to do these kinds of interviews and continue to do our show is because we have the most amazing bosses in the world, our listeners. And you can become one of them by becoming a member at patreon.com/DTNS. We'll talk to you next time.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.